Well, hello there, and thank you for finding us in our little corner of the podcast universe. This is the welcome to the very first episode of the Ears on Main Street podcast. And if you know, you know, right?
Right.
I'm Anomaly.
And I'm Todd.
And we are married.
Yes.
And we like to talk about Disney, don't we, Todd?
Oh, we do love the Disney. We also are joined in the studio today by our two puppers, Trevor and Sylvie. They're very fast asleep at the moment. But if you do hear them barking around, that's them. And also you may hear Trevor snoring because he's very comfortably sitting on my wife's lap at the moment.
All right. So in our very first episode, we're going to do some introductions. And I thought a nice way to do kind of a warm-up would be to talk about our perfect Disney days. And I think they might be quite different. I'm not sure what Todd's is yet, but I'm excited to learn your perfect Disney day.
Yeah, I am too.
So all that coming up on our first episode. All right. Well, Todd, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you'll be here most days with me.
Yeah, I hope so too. Hopefully it goes well.
All right. Well, we'll start off by introducing myself. I am a self-proclaimed Disney expert, and we live here in Asheville, North Carolina. We have been going to Disney pretty much every year for the last 6 or 7 years.
7 years, yes.
My first trip to Disney was in 1974, and I won't tell you how old I was, but I don't remember a whole lot from that trip besides the Skyway and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Country Bears. Those were my big memories from that first trip. Fast forward to 2013, and we went, my mother kindly treated us to a trip when our daughter was turning 6 years old. So it was really a perfect time for her to go. We all had a great time, and it was when I first remembered how amazing Disney is. I mean, it really spoke to my nostalgia for all, like, I grew up on Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Robin Hood, all of those, like, classic animated feature films, and just bringing that all back, it was, whew, it was amazing. So almost every year since then, we've tried to find a way to go back. We've done a Disney cruise, and we've also made it out to Disneyland in California. So we're definitely Disney obsessed, I would say. What do you think, Todd?
We are pretty high up on the scale of the Disney obsession. So I also went for the first time in 1974. The only reason I know that, because I was a little younger than Anomaly, but there is a card with my name on it from staying at Fort Wilderness. I think we went a few times when I was, you know, in the early 80s, because my aunt and grandmother lived down in the Tampa Winter Park area, so I think we made a trip or two while we were there. And then, yeah, the whole going back in 2013 definitely rekindled. We saw the magic. Obviously, the parks had grown since their original visit in 1974. So, but just, I think I really enjoyed just the over-encompassing just feel of the magic. And just how everything works together and is so, even though it seems so random, is so thought out. That really hooked me, I guess, on the Disney experience.
All right, so Todd, I think we were going to do this in our introduction. We were going to say what our favorite ride was in all four parks and our favorite land in all four parks. Why don't you go first?
I mean, that is just...
I mean, you're one ride in all four parks, out of all four parks.
I mean, I can't narrow it down. Okay, so I guess Flight of Passage.
All right, why?
It is very immersive. The technology is amazing. And just the feeling you get, like you actually feel like, I mean, it's as close as you can feel that you're flying and moving. I mean, with the very minimal movement of your Banshee that you're on.
Okay. What's your favorite land?
I like Batuu.
Okay, which is Galaxy's Edge. Star Wars Land,
yes. In
Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yes.
Okay, and what do you like about Galaxy's Edge?
It's the immersiveness. It's just how everything, even though it is just at a moment in time in the Star Wars universe, but just how everything plays into the whole Star Wars universe and what's going on, you know, around the land with the characters that they have there and just the theming, just the way that it's built. It just is, it's very genius.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So now it's my turn. My favorite ride in all four parks. This is hard. I mean,
it's... Oh, I know. You put me on the spot like this.
I didn't put you on the spot because I told you
before. I thought we were doing favorite rides in each park.
So, it's hard. But when I think of the ride that has consistently brought me joy, brought me to tears... I think there's only one ride that's really brought me to happy tears, overwhelmed tears, and that is, drumroll please.
Figment.
No, Flight of Passage in Pandora in Animal Kingdom. It's just amazing. I know how they do it, but I don't know how they do it. I mean, it just feels... Oh, so real. And if you haven't done it, book your ticket today and go, because it's just unbelievable. It's, you know, the movie Avatar, there are banshees and you are flying on a banshee and you can feel the breathing of the animal between your knees and feels like you're flying in this alien landscape. And it's just breathtaking. It's so immersive, so real. Even though there are, you know, many, many amazing rides, but that's, I have to say, the one that I always have to do. Favorite land. Oh, I mean, there are lots of contenders, but I think the land that just kind of fills me with happiness is Adventureland in Magic Kingdom. I can't really say why. I mean, it's got great rides, but it doesn't have anything like that amazing. But I think just the nostalgia of it, really, and just the feeling and the music and just how the buildings look, and it's got Jungle Cruise, so that I'm going to say Adventureland in Magic Kingdom. All right. Well, I feel like we've been properly introduced.
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, but I think more information will come out as the podcast continue.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're not travel agents or anything like that. It's not our job to book Disney vacations, but we are the people that people come to in our circle when they need information or advice on Disney travel. We've done a lot of informal travel planning sessions, and it's just fun for us to help other people enjoy Disney the way we do. And there are a lot of people who don't want anything to do with Disney, and that's, we've pretty much cut those people out of our lives.
No.
Those people are dead to us.
I think just that some people, they just feel that it's so over commercialized and a cash grab, and so they just, you know, they have in their mind, and I don't think we were 100% like that, but I think we were probably a little more apprehensive when we went the first time in 2013, thinking that it's like, oh, it's just going to be this and this, and it's just going to be very theme park-ish food. That, I think that was one of the things that definitely won us over, because we just thought it was just going to be like, here's a hot dog, here's some chicken nuggets, give us $15, please.
And there's definitely that.
There is definitely that, yes. But looking around, you can find alternatives to with food that is actually very some of our more favorite restaurants mm-hmm. we've eaten at are located at Disney.
Absolutely.
Also, I think just going in and seeing the immersiveness of the resorts, how they play in with the theme parks, how it all ties together. You know, part of it is nostalgia, you know, how you remember certain things as a child and seeing certain things as a child and being there, just catching Disney again as an adult. It was pretty immersive and amazing.
You're talking about our first trip back.
Our first trip back, yes.
As a family.
As a family, yes. Yeah. Just, you know, just there was just the little things that I found that I really liked. Just the, you know, the Main Street. And then, you know, it's also part of the nostalgia is they don't do a lot of these things anymore. But they would have an opening show on Main Street and just character interactions, which I would hope will be coming back. We're recording this as we're coming out of the COVID pandemic, but, you know, on Main Street, there would be performers who were caught in, what would you say, the 1900s, or not mm-hmm. performers, but yeah, they were living on a Main Street in America in 1900, and you would interact with them.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, so we didn't expect to, I think, love Disney as much as we did. But now we do. And I think what it boils down to is if you aren't in touch with that part of yourself that's still a child, you really probably won't appreciate Disney as much as some people.
Yeah, just kind of letting go and just having fun in the moment and enjoying those rides that maybe you did get to go as a child.
All right, so I think that sums up a lot of what we love about Disney and why we're wanting to do this podcast is we just want to share our love of Disney with you guys out there. If you've been 10 times, if you've never been, we would like to just share information, tips, and, you know, things that might help make your next trip better. I don't know. But today we are going to talk about our perfect Disney day. So this is a day that is based in reality, right? We're grounded in reality
right.
here.
Right, not one of those days where, like you see on the commercial, where somebody wakes up in Cinderella Castle or Mickey Mouse is letting you in or, you know, your Cinderella skips down Main Street with you. Not to say that doesn't happen, but it's not going to happen very often.
Right. So this is a day that is maybe not necessarily if anything in the world could happen. It's more like what in the realm of your possibility is your perfect Disney day.
Yes. Okay? Or helps add to the perfect Disney day.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the first things that I thought of is where you waking up. Like mm-hmm. we said, Disney does have encompass quite a few miles and miles. They have 24,000 acres and multiple hotels. So waking up in Disney property is definitely a huge part of it and the theming of the hotels. So I would think if you could wake up in one of the monorail resorts is definitely a great start to a day.
All right, so Todd, which resort would you wake up at?
I would probably, on a perfect day, would wake up at the Contemporary or Bay Lake Towers, which is next door.
Mm-hmm.
And have a theme park view, not a parking lot view.
I think it's the same, one and the same.
One and the same. But you would be able to see the Magic Kingdom and walk out on your balcony, mm-hmm. maybe enjoy a cup of coffee before the sun rises. Mm-hmm. And if you're staying there, you could just walk on over to the Magic Kingdom if that was your park of choice for your perfect day.
Right. So you would stay at the Contemporary.
I would stay at the Contemporary, okay. I believe. How about you?
I am the same. I have wake up at the Contemporary and grab a coffee and a snack. But I changed my answer from when I wrote it down. I think I would get room service.
Whoa.
Yeah, I would sit on my balcony with my coffee and my room service breakfast and watch the Magic Kingdom wake up for the day. That would be like a very special feeling for me. And just kind of get ready to hit the parks, but take a very leisurely moment to just enjoy my surroundings.
Yeah, I think also, as we have gone more often to Disney, I think we are taking more of a time, because there was definitely a time where we would have lots of schedules of things we needed to do, and we would go, and the pre-pandemic times there would be what they're called extra magic hours, which I think at this time of recording they've been replaced by, what are they called?
There's nothing
right now, but they would keep they would open one of the parks earlier, so if you were staying on site you could go in an hour early, and sometimes parks would stay open later, so we would know which was happening. And so, you know, there were days where we would be up and trying to go to the park for the extra magic hours, and then maybe go home and take a nap and find out who had extra magic hours at night and stay out till, you know, there was one time I think the park closed at 1 a.m. and we were there at 1 a.m. So, but that, not to say that's not a perfect day, squeezing it as much as you can, but I think this has helped us maybe appreciate a perfect day, is taking your time and enjoying the scenery and everything around.
Okay, yeah. So I would get dressed, walk over to the Magic Kingdom. So for those who don't know, the Contemporary has a walkway from the hotel to the Magic Kingdom. And so that's what I would do. Have a pair of comfy shoes. Comfy but stylish. In my perfect day, there's such a shoe. Have the perfect ears and the perfect outfit for lots and lots of pictures, and walk over to Magic Kingdom before the park opens. And it's one of those days where they're letting people in early, so we get in a little bit before opening time. I think the park now is mainly opening at 9.
Yes, because now you still have to go through bag check and all that. But yeah, a lot of times, it depends on how busy they are, but they will let people in sometimes to queue up to go to different lands, because the Magic Kingdom has different lands. So there's a main hub area, and then you can walk to, say, Adventureland, Tomorrowland, New Fantasyland. So that way they get people that, you know, into the parks and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so since there aren't a lot of people there when I get in, I take some time to do some pictures on Main Street, because Main Street is amazing. It is the part of the park that's styled after a small town around the turn of the century. And it's just beautiful. It's got storefronts and little windows with different businesses, different imaginary businesses. And lots of, if you are interested in the history of Disney, you can see a lot of the Imagineers' names written on the windows on the second floor. And it's just a really, really beautiful themed area of the park. So it's awesome to get some nice pictures there with not a lot of people in the background. Then after my Main Street,
would you get another coffee at Starbucks?
I would not get a coffee yet, because I would want to hit some rides.
Okay.
So I would do Peter Pan. These are the rides that I'm doing first thing in the morning. Okay. Before the lines get crazy. I hit Peter Pan. I do Haunted Mansion twice.
What?
Yep. Big Thunder Mountain, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty full morning of rides.
And we've had mornings like that where we have gone in and it is not as busy. And if you do hit it right, you can get a lot of, you know, do 3, 4, 5 rides within an hour.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. after my morning of rides, it's time for snack. Can you guess where I get my breakfast/snack? Second breakfast.
Adventureland?
New. Close to Adventureland. My favorite. It's
Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow for their Nutella and fruit waffle. So Sleepy Hollow is in Liberty Square, and it's just a little hole in the wall, but they have the most amazing waffle sandwiches there. They have one with chicken, I believe, like a fried chicken waffle sandwich, and then the most amazing Nutella and fresh fruit on a waffle. And, I get a drink to refresh myself and just sit there for a minute and people watch. That's right near the walkway from Liberty Square into Fantasyland, and just kind of relax there for a minute.
Yeah, there's just a few tables and it's right alongside the castle, so, and maybe a duck or two will come up and talk to you.
They probably will.
Oh yeah, the ducks are not shy there.
Right.
And I have a feeling that some people may feed them.
No. All right, so after my second breakfast, I head over to
Tomorrowland,
indeed I do. And I hit Space Mountain.
You wouldn't do the People Mover then Space Mountain?
Because
you do have a waffle in your tummy.
I do have a waffle in my tummy. I have Space Mountain and then People Mover, but yeah, I might do People Mover. Again, people watching from the People Mover. And the People Mover is a ride in Tomorrowland that kind of just, it's like a little train ride all through the land. And it's the simplest thing, but it's just amazing.
Yeah, because part of it goes through
Space Mountain
through the rides. And you can look in on the gift shop and look in at Buzz Lightyear. Mm-hmm. So it's just, yeah, you're above it all. And it's like, it runs on magnets, I believe, and so it's very quiet,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, you know, it's a nice, relaxing, 10-minute ride?
Mm-hmm. Then I do Space Mountain, which, of course, is a walk-on my perfect day, and I guess I'll do Buzz Lightyear and get the top score.
Okay.
In my
Think, really, instead of trying to do, because they has a score, you can get 999,999.
Mm-hmm.
I think people should try to get as close to that without hitting that. So you try to, if you get 999,900.
Interesting.
So you're that accurate, because it's a target shooting game, and there are definitely people know there are targets that are worth.
Yeah, there are hacks to get that score.
Because, just as an average person just shooting any of the targets, I mean, you know, sometimes you get like 8,000.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have, after Tomorrowland, all I have written is Dole Whip.
Okay.
So I guess that means I head over to Adventureland, grab a Dole Whip, and sit at the, what is the place called that sells the Dole Whip?
Aloha Seasons? Aloha Isle?
Yeah, something like that. I'll have to look that up. I can't remember it right offhand, but
something Aloha, we're pretty sure.
Yeah, so mobile order a Dole Whip, go over, pick it up, and just sit for a little bit. There's a lot of sitting involved in my perfect day. And then head back to Big Thunder Mountain, do that again, hit Splash, and then do Country Bears in Frontierland.
And why do you think you want to sit a lot? What is the, I mean, other than the Florida sun, which is going to be often there, mm-hmm. in between the often heavy Florida rains.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's probably would be different for someone who hasn't ever been to the Magic Kingdom or is with a family. If you've been there several times, you've kind of ridden all the rides, you've been there, done that, part of the charm is just sitting there and soaking in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And what do you do? Enjoy the people watching too?
I'd like to people watch, but I just like to listen to the music, look at the details. There's so many little details that you only see if you really just sit and kind of look. So I'm all into that on my perfect day.
Would you be buying a tiara?
I would not be buying a tiara.
There is the, just so you know, in Adventureland. There is the most random little kiosk cart that sells tiaras and shy glasses. Is that what it is?
I think it's little crystal and glass animals and figurines.
Right, and it's kind of not even out for people to see. I mean, I guess you can see it, but it's just the kind of the most random.
It's over by Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's just the most random little cart, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, after that, that's a pretty full.
Would you go to Main Street and watch? Would there be Streetmosphere?
No, this is happening in current day. Okay. So I would.
Would you go watch some cavalcades on Main Street?
I would. Yeah, I would make my way to Main Street. Actually, I do have that on my list, and hopefully catch some cavalcades.
It's your perfect day. You would catch the cavalcades.
I would catch many cavalcades.
What would be your favorite cavalcade? Do you think the Dapper Dans going by on the streetcar, or?
Oh, yeah.
Or would it be the princesses waving? Or Gaston? Would Gaston point at you and make a muscle? Would that be part of your perfect day?
Absolutely. Yes, thank you. Those are all really great ideas.
But to let you know, there used to be a parade and more character meet and greets. And I have a feeling that the character meet and greets will be coming back soon as of this recording, which is June 24th, 2021.
Yeah.
But so now in lieu of that, they do have this, as they say, random cavalcades. They actually happen every 15 to 20 minutes. But to stop people from gathering and making a crowd due to COVID, they just have one or two characters go by or walk by. So
yeah, it's more spontaneous.
Yes.
Which actually is kind of nice because sitting and waiting for the Festival of Fantasy Parade at 3 o'clock in the afternoon it's hot. I'm not going to lie. It's
brutal.
Brutal. Okay. So anyway, so then I head down to the Emporium for some shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe pick up a couple things.
Are you going to do any pin trading during this?
I'm not really.
Okay.
I'm not going to do any pin trading. That's not.
You're not even just going to walk by and be like, oh, let's pin trade. Oh, there's somebody that just has that perfect pin.
Well, maybe that's part of your perfect day.
In a perfect day, somebody would have the perfect pin.
All right, well, so I do a little shopping in the Emporium, making my way all the way from Casey's at the top of Main Street all the way down to Town Square at the bottom of Main Street. Did you know that the Emporium goes all the way down Main Street? You can do the entire thing inside. And then I leave the park. I'm spending the afternoon in my perfect day at the resort by the pool, just kind of poking around in the gift shops. It's just a very laid back afternoon. Now we're at dinner. Where do you think I'm having dinner?
Well, you probably, since we've never been there, but I mean, perfect day would be, what's the one in the Grand Floridian? Albert and Louise?
Victoria and Albert,
which is a 5-star restaurant. I believe it's 5-star, correct?
It's like Four Diamonds.
Four Diamonds. It's a very, very... But it's just having a regular meal that is a very planned out meal at Victoria and Albert's.
That is not my choice. Will you guess what my choice was?
The Wave.
No. I am having dinner at Ohana at the Polynesian. And so I'll take the monorail to get there. And I just can't resist their dumplings and their noodles. It's Polynesian, kind of Hawaiian, Asian blend of foods there with meat skewers, all served family style. Finished with the perfect dessert, which is a banana bread pudding with ice cream and a caramel sauce. It's to die for.
Now, what would be happening in the background while you're eating this?
What do you mean?
Would there be fireworks?
You know, it's hard for me to imagine fireworks again, but I guess they're going to be happening soon.
Yeah, in 1 week.
Yep.
From recording this, June 24th, 2021.
Yep.
Fireworks return to Magic Kingdom July 1st.
Okay.
2021.
Okay. So after my dinner at Ohana, I go down to the beach at the Poly and watch the fireworks.
Oh, so there are fireworks now. You wouldn't watch them from your table?
No. After fireworks, I would head over on the walkway to the Grand Floridian.
Great choice.
and have drinks at the Enchanted Rose.
What is the Enchanted Rose?
It's a Beauty and the Beast themed lounge in the lobby of the Grand Floridian Resort. Mm-hmm. And I've never been there. And I've seen some video and it looks really amazing. I love Beauty and the Beast and I want to try something new. And then after that, I take the monorail back and I go to sleep.
Okay. Sounds like a perfect day to me.
Why, thank you. Are you going to do yours?
Oh. I mean, I think I would be, you know, a lot of what Anomaly chose, I would be on board with, since I would probably would be with her on a perfect day. Sometimes I might be kicked off for the perfect day. Why don't you go find something else to do? But all seriousness, I like a lot of what she would do. Maybe some of the things I might change.
Mm-hmm.
Might do differently. I might go to the California Grill for dinner,
uh-huh.
which is on top of the Contemporary,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be... Have we done the dinner before there? We've never... Yeah, we have done the dinner.
Yeah, of course.
But in my perfect world, I probably would have the brunch menu, which would be kind of a hybrid entree slash buffet.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite meals of all time because we did the buffet there or the brunch. And so they do have like sushi. What else do they have on the bar for the buffet?
Salads,
a charcuterie, and then a bottomless mimosas are involved. And also you could choose as many entrees as you would like, which is kind of a great thing because you also could do half entrees because I think with the last time we did this meal, Anomaly was able to get, you know, it said it's three waffles and she was able to get one waffle plus something else.
It was a pancake.
Or a pancake, I'm sorry. Then also probably what I might change is I probably would watch the fireworks from the top of the California Grill because it is at the very top of the Contemporary. And then maybe go to Top of the World Lounge and have a drink. Or go to, where would I go?
I don't know.
At the Polynesian?
Trader Sam's.
Trader Sam's. Yeah. And then get I don't know if you can walk out with your drink. You probably can.
They have the Tiki Terrace.
The Tiki Terrace. And then watch since the fireworks are over, watch the...
Electrical pageant.
Yes, water pageant.
What's the whole name?
I believe it's the Electrical Water Pageant.
The Electrical Water Pageant. And what's that, Todd?
Which is, I think, has been there since 1971. There's 6-8 barges that just goes around, and there is they're very simple light-ups. There's like a Poseidon one, and then it changes to American flags.
Mm-hmm.
And there's music that is played at each of the resorts that coincides with the what's going on with the barges.
Hmm.
So it will go across around Seven Seas Lagoon, which was right around where the Magic Kingdom is, and those other resorts that are what we talked about, the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, and the Contemporary Resort are all located there.
Okay, so a lot of your perfect Disney day is the same as mine, huh?
Because I'm with you.
Well, that wasn't necessarily the stipulation.
Oh.
You could have done whatever you wanted
to. Well, I mean, I think a lot of the things that you did, I would have really, really enjoyed too.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think, yes, other than, you know, maybe missing the Festival of Fantasy Parade, but we're living in some reality now. I mean, I love that parade,
mm-hmm.
but just to be able to, you know, walk up and have a spot.
That would be awesome.
Instead of waiting in the blistering sun and for 2.5 hours or hour and a half.
Yeah. So this is a perfect day that really is achievable by anyone. It's not, I didn't include like a VIP tour or, you know, anything super extravagant.
Right.
This is attainable by, you know, most people. A night at the Contemporary is on the pricey side, but, you know, every once in a blue moon for a treat, it might be something that you can swing.
Right, or because it is going to be part of a perfect day.
Right, exactly.
Because, the Contemporary is pretty awesome.
All right. So that was our Perfect Day at Disney episode. I hope you enjoyed coming along with us on our perfect day. And I hope you enjoy coming along with us for future podcast episodes. I am really excited about talking Disney and diving deep into some topics such as trip planning, our favorite rides in, you know, each park, not just our top favorite ride. Just talking about maybe some history and other interesting topics about Disney. What do you think, Todd?
Sounds like a great plan. Yeah, there is so much. And yeah, I mean, we are definitely not 100%. Well, I mean, we're very, very Disney knowledgeable. And just being able to share what we like about it. And yeah, hope you come along and enjoy our, hopefully, as it seems, witty banter.
Yeah, hopefully it'll stay witty and not get too...
Yeah, it might even do that.
We actually disagree about some things when it comes to Disney, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to see what those are. All right, guys. Well, once again, thank you for joining us.
I don't know, did you subscribe to podcasts? Leave some comments. Interact with us.
Yeah, interact with us and share this podcast with your Disney-loving friends or people who aren't yet Disney lovers. And we will see you next time. Stay magical.
Bye.